The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 248. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What it do?
And joining us once again, Mr. Brian Manjoma.
What up?
What's going on? Brian, man, what you been up to, man? You were too drunk to join the show last time, man. Yo, this is what I love about Brian. He keeps everything. He's like, yo, I'm too fucking drunk, son. Like, that was it.
Yeah, I just been getting drunk and not telling my alarm and stuff. So, but I'm back now. Things are back to usual.
Hey, Brian, if it makes you feel good, I got really drunk on Friday myself, so we're even, you know?
Yeah.
But there was no show on Friday, though.
There wasn't, yeah, but still, you know? Like, Brian got drunk on his Friday. I got drunk on my Friday.
No, all right. There you go. Touche. Touche.
Right? Yeah. Again, man, you know, those situations, like, I got home. I'm like, how the fuck did I get back home?
But the question is, though, did you eat a Subway sandwich?
No. I keep saying Subway, by the way. It's 7-Eleven. Of course, I eat a 7-Eleven. Yeah, I saw the receipt. I'm like, oh, I went to 7-Eleven, too. That's always, man. I can't talk about what I was doing on Friday, but yeah, you'll find out in a couple weeks. I can't. What happened, Manny?
You're like, go me. You got me a sandwich and you got me home. Awesome.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I even bought myself some chips too. I was like, all right. Yeah, man. By the way, I think the trick to, you know, not having your stomach get fucked up after drinking a lot is just to make sure you eat. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That is the trick. Yeah.
I will say this, though. The event I went to, which you guys will find out about soon, the company fed me very well. So, because I was going to, one of my secondary mission was to, you know, eat that new Popeyes chicken. Mm-hmm. When I was done with the event, I'm like, I'm too full right now, man. I'm not going to eat this shit. You know? Another time. Oh, by the way, completely off topic. So while I was at this event, we were talking about, you know, the sandwich and all that. And then the conversation about the Impossible Whopper came up, right? Did you know this shit is just a veggie burger?
Yeah. That's what it's always
I'm like,
been.
What the fuck's the point then?
They always call it, for some reason, they don't want to call it veggie burger, so they call it Impossible.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like...
Well, it's the brand. I think the brand who makes the patty is called...
called Impossible?
Yeah, think so.
You know the worst. You know the thing about it is like those a lot of the people that just want to be a vegan about the that's kind of screwy about that thing. Yes, it tastes decent, that Impossible one. But did you ever look at the amount of salt that's in that shit?
Man,
oh yeah, it's
go ahead.
So this happened with the Beyond Burger that they did in Carl's Jr., which is another brand. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, so they have a vegan burger at Carl's Jr. So I'm like, okay, maybe it tastes good enough to substitute the regular Carl's Jr. burger. So I might just eat that because it's probably going to be healthier than the regular one. I'm like, it's got almost the same number of calories and shit. And I'm like, this doesn't really provide any nutritional like benefits. It's just to be the whole morality of things, I guess, is the only thing that you get from it. But other than that, yeah, does it taste better?
It's just as unhealthy as a regular burger. So mm-hmm. Might as well just eat the regular burger.
Yeah, because I mean, it's at least real meat, you know?
At least it's real meat. Bullshit. But, you know, some people really just are just against eating meat. And they somehow believe that only that specific vegetable, you know, eating mostly vegetable stuff is, you know, was perfectly healthy. But obviously it's not, it can, if it tastes good, it probably means it's not that healthy.
Exactly. Yeah, vegans are interesting to me, man.
They hide, you know, like they hide it all behind a bunch of salt.
Yeah,
they put a bunch of salt and a bunch of other stuff on there that's not really healthy for you.
By the way, my favorite vegans are the ones that eat cheese. Like, bro, I got something to tell you, man.
the ones that eat cheese and eggs.
I'm like, oh, okay, let me tell you something about cheese and eggs, bro. You know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: you can't call yourself a you can't call yourself a vegan if you're eating cheese or anything or eggs, because that means you've cut out everything, right? That means you've cut out all products created from animals, stuff like that. Even gelatin, you can't even eat that because that's an animal thing too.
Hilarious. But
if you're a vegetarian, you can get away with that because it just means that you eat mostly vegetables. So you can eat cheese and, you know, and, you know, have a cake, you know?
You know what else, like, that I noticed, and it makes sense for vegans. It's like, if someone cooks, like, if someone uses oil and cooks something that's a meat-based product and uses that same oil to cook something that's vegan-based, it's not vegan anymore?
Yes.
It's not.
That is also a thing that a lot of vegans have had against McDonald's, because they use the same grill that they use to create the normal burgers, you know, cook the normal burgers in there, as well as to cook the vegan burgers, which means they're also getting a bit of, you know, meat stuff on top of their, you know, regular meat stuff on top of there, which is probably making their burger days a little bit better.
You know, but Barry Burns says potatoes have feelings too. You know,
oh, dude.
True. Again, this always goes back to The Simpsons. There's this one guy who's like, I'm a level 17 vegan. I don't eat anything that casts a shadow. Like,
well, don't we share 90 or so % of our DNA with trees and shit?
Probably.
Well, everything on this planet we share our DNA with.
This is the way I see it about eating meat. I'm like, listen, man, the reason that Homo sapiens evolved to the way we are now is because our ancestors ate meat and their brains grew bigger. So me eating meat honors my ancestors. So slice up that pig and put it in my belly, man. Let's go. Remember how the food chain works, right? The food chain is pretty simple. You have a human in the middle, and every other animal around it goes inside of us. That's the food chain. That's how that shit works, man. All right, let's get to it, man. We got you. Oh, by the way, almost forgot, man. We got to give a big shout out to Mr. Torrance Davis, man.
Yeah, impromptu showing up on the show.
Yeah, which was a lot of fun. You know, we always have fun with Torrance. Every time Torrance comes on the show, I always end up crying and shit. Tears on my face because he cracks me up, man. It's hilarious.
He cracks you up.
Yeah, he cracks me up. So we're probably going to have Torrance again on for episode 250, you know. It should be fun, man.
I definitely have a feeling when he ends the war zone, he's going to be a semi regular impromptu member of the Throwdown. I have a feeling this is going to happen.
Well, you know, this might be spoilers, but Torrance specifically said that. He says that after, you know, Warzone is done, he's going to say that we could start claiming that this is going to be the unofficial, like, we own the exclusive rights to Torrance Davis's appearances in video game podcasts. He does plan to show up more often, you know. But you're right about it. You know, Torrance always has to get someone off his chest. You know?
If he's as much as he's not, you know, paying full attention to the game industry, he's still paying attention. And if he ever gets that urge to be like, oh, I got to say something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know, he said Thorin has the exclusive rights to Torrance Davis when the war zone
ends. Oh, man, we got
to
get that in writing.
Yeah, we do. You know,
he's the hot free agent right now.
Oh, man. All right, man, let's get on with it, man. Annihilator 83 starts us off with, am I the only one that can't get excited for new games on Xbox Game Pass? Normally, I'd be excited for Gears of War 5, but not now. He sounds like Adam.
Yeah, that sounded a little familiar there.
You know, my man ain't excited for no Gears, man. He ain't talking. Yeah. He ain't been playing it, you know.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's a pretender right now with Gears right now.
Oh.
Like, I don't see, like, that excitement. That wouldn't have happened for Gears 2 or Gears 1 or Gears 3. Or Gears of War Judgment. Gears 5, I'm like, Adam, where's... I'm pretty sure for those other games, you were pretty hyped. You're not showing it right now.
Yeah.
He's holding the faith. That's what he is. He's like, you know, he's always going to love Gears, and he just sees it as he's not going to look at it. He's just going to try to enjoy it once it comes out. That's why he's not looking at anything, you know?
Hey, man, he was hyping up Division 2 like crazy until he didn't like it, and then
There is a level though where you kind of can overhype something for yourself, where you to the point where it doesn't live up to your expectations. And I feel like that's probably what Adam is doing. I think Adam is just kind of keeping his distance, trying to stay a little, not trying to absorb too much, so where he doesn't raise his expectations too far, where he just doesn't, you know, he'll just be like, oh man, this wasn't anything I wanted, right? So I'm thinking that's what this is.
Yeah, but as
you call it, tempering his expectations.
Yeah, tempering. Yeah, but as to the question, I've had Game Pass since like November. I never used it once, man. So yeah, like I am going to use Game Pass to play Gears, but other than that, I'm like, I don't really need this thing, you know. So for me, you know, but then again, you know, Game Pass is really good if you're into playing a lot of older games. Like I've said many times previously, I don't play older games just because I don't have the time to. I gotta play whatever's new. And let's just be real, Xbox ain't got that many exclusives anyway, you know.
Well, what so, you saying to, what you say, you talking smack on
me? Yeah, I'm trying to say Xbox doesn't have a lot of exclusives, you know, so there's not a reason for me. The last time I was on Game Pass was for a fucking Crackdown 3, you know. And I'll get on there on Gears of War, and that's literally what, two exclusives in a year? Not enough, man. Mm. So if that, I'm speaking for myself. I know Brett. I think he said he likes Game Pass, but
I like Game Pass too. It's they have a good share of games. Like if you only have an Xbox, they have a lot of good third party games. Isn't Devil May Cry 5 going to come into the Game Pass?
Yeah. Again, I should make that caveat. It's like I'm speaking for myself here. Obviously, like if you only have an Xbox. Mm-hmm. Xbox Game Pass is fantastic. Get that shit, you know. But for me, I'm just speaking for myself. Worth it, you know.
Yeah, for me, I think it's worth it because it's still, even if it's just for Gears, even if it's just for Halo and Forza, it pays itself for just for those games alone. So even if I'm only looking forward to one, two games a year, for a Microsoft exclusive, then it'll pay off for Game Pass in the long run. Or in the Blind Forest.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's going to be next year. Or in the Will of the Wisp, or whatever that new one's going to call
it. Yeah, Will of the Wisp, yeah. Right, any other thoughts on Xbox Game Pass?
I mean, I don't actually own it to comment on it.
Chris, you never tried it, did you?
No, I never have. And to be honest, it hasn't been like a title where I'm like, oh, shit, let me get into this, you know? Just, I don't think there's enough there, but... maybe with Gears 5, maybe to try it there. I know a couple of the games I was curious about are going to be on there, so maybe I'll sign up for it.
Yeah, I think they have a little trial you could check out.
Can trial it?
Oh, yeah. Trial it, man. There you go.
Well, and they also, there's always, I mean, I don't know if they do it now, but when I started with it, they had a lot of, like, 3 months for like a dollar or something like that. Like, remember, Tony, we got that.
Oh yeah, that's how I got it.
Yeah, you got that for Sea of Thieves. You guys
Yep. So there still might be some of those like get it for 3 months and pay only $2 kind of deal. So CD keys, man.
Yeah, CD keys, son. Oh man! All right, let's move on here. Black Metal Gamer. So his first question is, what game developers that do what they do well in their typical game genres would you like to see grow and do something else in a different genre? For example, Insomniac Games doing a survival horror, or Playground Games doing an FPS. So, you know, like, for example, yeah, like Platinum Games, like, you know, they're known for making action games. Like, would you like to see them do, you know, a point-and-click adventure game? You know, that's an example. So, let's see. Who wants to start this off? I still need to think of my answer.
Switching genres.
Switching genres around?
Yeah, like, you know, like if there's a developer that's known specifically for a genre, what genre would you like to see them tackle? The first part is because most developers make different types of games. You know, they don't just make one genre. We got to be very selective about the type of... I guess Naughty Dog, you could say they make action-adventure games. So, I don't know. Them doing an RTS, but I don't care about RTS games.
Yeah, because I was thinking like Insomniac, but they make so many. They made first person shooters. They made those fucking 3D action games. They made a lot of stuff. So, how about Naughty Dog making a fighting game?
Oh, well, they did.
Wasn't Way of the Warrior?
Yeah, Yeah, Uncharted, man.
Go back to the roots. You know, they can make Way of the Warrior 2.
Yeah, and
we're telling up.
Remember in Uncharted, there was this one part. If you guys beat Uncharted 4 towards the very end, where it kind of got almost like a fighting game.
That is true.
So that'd be pretty interesting for me.
Here's one again. Going back to Platinum, because they're the only I can think of that is like that kind of specializing. Even though they've done different types of games too, I want to see them do an RPG, like a traditional turn-based RPG. That'd be pretty interesting, you know. Like, how could you incorporate the craziness of Platinum's action with a regular turn-based RPG? You know, because if you make it an action RPG, that'd be easy for them to do. You know.
Oh yeah. Because it's not far off from what they already do.
Exactly. So like traditional turn-based RPG, that'd be with a Platinum touch, you know.
It's essentially an action RPG. So
yeah,
that'd be pretty cool. Just Platinum doing everything really would.
Platinum does it all. Chris, you got any ideas?
Come back to me. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Brian,
I was thinking of the Gran Turismo guys doing a RPG because I think that they do one like really well, given just how much detail and how much effort and like painstaking time to put in like every single detail.
Didn't they call like, or some people consider like Gran Turismo like a car RPG? So that kind of makes sense, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you can modify a lot of stuff. It's like,
like let's see that, but like a fantasy setting or like a historical setting or something, you know?
Yeah, that'd be dope.
So, Tony, would you say it is a
G? A car PG, yes. But I believe the developers of Project Cars, they're the ones that coined that one, car PG, you know? But so that's why I specifically said car RPG, because I don't want to take their shit, you know?
License that word already. Sorry, man.
Yeah, man. You can come over here and they're going to, shut us down, man.
Close down the studio.
Yeah. Manny, did you come up with one?
You said one that was really good, which was Platinum doing an RPG. Let's see. That's a hard one. Who could step out of a genre and still, you know, step out of their one of their genres and still make a game. A game that would be kind of fun to play.
But see, guys, I'm thinking of have already done that. I'm thinking, what else could Rockstar do? And I'm like, these guys made table tennis.
Yeah, they made table tennis.
And racing games and made Midnight Club. So it's like they've done.
Exactly. They could literally take the driving portion of Grand Theft Auto and turn it into a car game.
I remember for a while, I was like, you know, the driving in Grand Theft Auto was some of the best out there for a while until I played Burnout. I'm like, okay. This is the real deal right now. No, but you're right about that. Like I said, the reason this question is tough is because most game developers make a lot of different games in different genres. Very few stick to just one genre, you know? That's very, very rare.
Yeah, GZDR said, Guerrilla Games. I mean, they were the Killzone company. Then they did Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's move on. This is a funny one, kind of a double question too. What are some great games with awful covers and awful games with great covers? You know, he's talking about box art and shit.
Most box art nowadays is kind of lousy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually a giant head on a cover or guy facing away.
Uncharted.
I was about to say, like, a lot of great games that have come out in the last two generations have had awful covers. You know?
Yeah, Uncharted has a horrendous cover. It's just fucking Nathan Drake just standing tall, looking to the side.
But that's literally the cover of like 90% of games, where it's just the dude standing there, you know?
Yeah.
Remember when they did when Doom's cover came out, Doom 2016? They put the game logos of a bunch of different games, and it all worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was hilarious. Even Skyrim somehow worked, you know? Elder Scrolls. Like, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, my answer is, all the great games that have come out in the last two generations, there you go. They've all had shitty covers.
Yeah, like, especially the modern generation, I feel like a lot of the covers are just kind of run into lousy cover territory because I almost feel like when the graphics started getting incredibly consistent, the artwork started to just get more generic.
Yeah, and you remember when the graphics looked kind of shitty, the artwork looked amazing. You know?
Yeah, like you look at Nintendo games, they had amazingly painted covers, and then you look at the game and you're like, ugh.
How about Atari games, man? Atari games had like Drew Struzan looking art on on it, man, and it's just a bunch of squares.
Yeah, for the second part of this question, I'm going to go with Atari. Everything from Atari. Those covers look fucking awesome, dude. Just like Chris said, but those games?
So it seems like it just seems like the... Ever since the graphics got better, the art started getting worse.
Remember back in the day, Ben, you go to Blockbuster, you see, like, yo, that cover looks fucking awesome. You get the game home, you're like, I don't know about this game. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
Like and a good example... Look up. Okay. They should. Everyone should look up Yar's Revenge. Look at the box art, and you. It's like this Boris Vallejo looking painting. Oh, shit. And then look at the game. Like go. Somebody on YouTube has to have captured it or something. Just go look at it.
Man, yeah. So yeah, I guess games of the look at this cover. That looks fucking nasty. You know. Can I screen share in this shit? I don't. I'm not gonna do that. Look, I'm not gonna do that because it's gonna. Kill the whole program that. But look at the actual game. It looks like what the fuck? It looks like a glitch. Jesus, man. I gotta give the old time gamers props for playing shit like that, man. I'm telling my motherfuckers older than me. I'm like, shit. So that's my cheap answer. For the second half, literally all of the 80s.
I mean, there's a couple of kind of really lousy covers in there, but
yeah. All right, any other examples we want to give? Yeah,
like, you know, well, as far as bad covers or good covers,
either or.
Dragon True, the Revenge had a really awesome cover.
Wait, say that again. You cut out.
True, the Revenge has a.
Why does it keep really cutting out cover? During the middle? Say the name of the game twice.
Double Dragon 2, the Revenge.
There you go.
Has a really good cover for Nintendo.
Yeah.
That one has a great cover.
And it was a bad game?
That's an old one. No, it was a good game.
No, remember, it's got to be good games with bad covers and bad covers of good game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Xenophobe has this kind of crazy-looking cover, but then the actual game is kind of lousy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's for Nintendo. Let's see what else is out there. That's pretty lousy covers.
Oh, yeah, look at that cover. Shit.
Xenophobia.
Yeah, Xenophobia was crazy, but the actual game was trash.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It looks like an Aliens cover.
Yeah, it does. It looks like H.R. Giger did that shit.
Exactly. So I bought that game. I'm like, man, this game looks crazy. Look at this. And then it's like these weird, like big-headed dudes. I'm like, what is this?
Man. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. Johnny W. Uppercut. Would you like... This is an interesting one. Okay, you know how, like, they had, like, essentially... The Ghostbusters video game was essentially Ghostbusters 3?
Yes.
So, would you like to see a sequel to the Judge Dredd movie from 2012 as a video game?
That sounds cool to me.
That would be awesome. I would play it. Yeah. I'd play that for sure.
I'm going to say this because, you know, I've been getting tired of, like, big open world games. I would love the Judge Dredd game, open world game. Mega City and shit. The fucking waste outside. That'd be insane. You know?
You could go visit the ISO cubes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I don't think we're going to get a no here. Like, yes, that would be awesome. No.
Yeah, I mean, like, even just the Judge Dredd world, and just take you to that place where you're playing as Dredd. Why not?
Yeah, that'd be video game industry. Make a Judge Dredd game, man. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, like, what if you did a Judge Dredd game, like in the style of the Arkham games?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, all Mega City 1. Oh, you crazy, man.
Mega City 1, wouldn't that be New York?
Yeah. Well, that's what they call it there. All right, moving on. Dad versus the. I love that name. I think that's him deal too, by the way. He goes, yo, Throwdown Crew, it's been a while. Welcome back, man.
Kept you waiting, huh?
Okay, so he says, Matt Booty from Microsoft recently did an interview where he basically said Microsoft having games on more platforms could be a strategy going forward for the Xbox brand. Outer Worlds will be on everything, and it got me thinking, if this game sells significantly better, hypothetically speaking, on PS4 over Xbox, What do you all presume this means for the future of the Xbox exclusive, timed or otherwise, next gen? What we've been telling you for like this entire generation, man, or at least half the last half of the generation, Microsoft wants to turn Xbox into a brand. That's why you're seeing it everywhere. That's why you're seeing all these partnerships with Nintendo and stuff. You know, it wants to turn it into a service. Yes, it's a service. So, you know, him implying that he, you know, they're willing to even have their games on PlayStation, it just goes to, you know, to what we've been saying this entire time. So that shit don't surprise me, man. Chris, what's your take?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. Like, Microsoft is going to transition. They make so much money off of Azure. Look, they even got Sony to sign on to use Azure going forward for PSN, right?
Yeah.
And it's a robust platform. So, I mean, they're losing on the hardware. They're really losing out on having an exclusive system. And now everything is like, you listen to last E3. What wasn't Windows, Xbox and Windows exclusive? What was it? All those games go to PC.
Yeah.
And now they're putting stuff on the Switch. So they're going to move away. Like the Scarlet, I think, is it. That's going to be the end of Xbox hardware. They're going to move forward. Then you're going to be able to play Xbox on your iPad. And it's just going to move to a service.
Xbox everywhere.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, get Xbox on your refrigerator and stuff, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that is Microsoft's strong suit. It has always been Microsoft's strong suit. It's never been hardware. It's always been software.
Yep. So it makes sense. And let's just be honest, because they haven't been doing so well in the hardware business and video games, you know, it's a natural transition for them. You know, it's like, okay, this shit didn't work. Let's do what we do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, by the way, it's a bold statement, but I'm gonna have to agree. I think Scarlet probably will be their last console.
Can I call you guys out?
Oh, excuse me.
Let's throw down real quick. So
throwing down
is me against the world right now. It's a fucking it's a battle royale.
You're Brett right now, man.
Turn into Brett.
I need to fill the void that Brett usually fills in the show.
Am I the only one?
Am I the only one? So you guys are saying that what Microsoft does best is software.
Yes.
So where are the games?
Damn.
I'm just saying.
Damn.
I'm just saying.
Damn, son.
Yo, man, they do operation systems.
Sir. Hey, bird, son. I don't even have a rebuttal to that shit.
I mean, I understand, like, their Xbox Live is a good service, and I mean Azure, but that's not Xbox. They probably use it, but that's something else.
We said Microsoft. We didn't say Xbox.
Okay, okay.
Maybe they said Microsoft.
Yeah. So, in terms of gaming, the most important piece of software is always going to be the video game itself. Mm-hmm. What kind of service are you providing if you can't provide something that people want to, you know, be served with?
Dang.
Nobody wants this chicken sandwich.
Yo, man, with all that Microsoft, anti-Microsoft talk, and Johnny the Truth Teller is just going to come out of the woodwork.
You know he's coming.
Next week we're going to get one. The panel.
Yeah.
I understand what I'm saying is a whole bunch of slander towards Microsoft, but I believe it's justified. And I got anonymity. I got three Xboxes.
Damn. Wait, so how's that anonymity?
He got immunity.
Immunity.
Okay. Oh, immunity. Yeah.
I was like, hold on a second. I don't think that's the correct usage of the word, bro.
I have immunity to this.
Inhumidity.
Yo.
Adamantium.
Yo, I got some adamantium in this shit.
Some adamantium right now.
Yo, English is your second language, man. It's all good, you know?
Yo, man, I got, yeah.
ESL.
Yo, but you know what? Whatever language you speak, man, the truth is, Xbox ain't got no games. Yo, Johnny the Truth Teller. Yo, son, man. Let's go, son.
He's coming for you, man. That's it.
Him and Damien are about to fucking team up. And
Damien is on fire right now. He's like,
throw down your all mediocre.
Like he's sitting. He's sitting there in his easy chair out. And where's he from? Like
Jamaica, Virgin Islands, right? Man. Shout out to the Virgin Islands, man.
And the Virgin Islands, man. And then as soon as we said something, as soon as you said anything Xbox related, he's just fire now. That's it. They're coming.
See, I can't hate on. See, the thing is, I can't hate on Demon Twitch. He's a fellow Islander too. You know,
The island.
All right, man.
He knows what platanos are.
Of course he does, man. He's probably eating them right now, son. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. G Megaforce 1-2-3. So his first question is, does level capping make you lose interest in a game? When playing games with a level cap, I specifically mean Fallout 4 and Borderlands, I find myself losing all interest in the game once I reach the level cap. At this point, I find finding random encounters with enemies a complete waste of time. And in any open world game like this, I always find myself wanting to explore everywhere. And so I often level cap before I am done completing the story, and I've almost have to force myself to finish the game. It's an interesting conundrum. Yeah, when you hit that level cap, it kind of takes the motivation of you wanting to fight enemies. I that happens to me too. I'm like, I'm level 30, what the fuck do I need to fight these guys for, you know? And it sucks because exactly. You know you're getting experience, but it doesn't count, so it's like, you know,
I don't like it because I like the, because to be honest, I'm always the guy that always grinds and grinds until I reach like level 99, like the ultimate level, right, where you're powerful, more, where you literally just whip the ass of everything, and where they just lock you down at level 30. I'm like, come on guys, seriously?
Yeah. With that said,
because they want the game to be a challenge. I'm like, listen, I earned it. I've sat here for like 100 hours grinding on stupid fucking slimes. Come on.
Know?
Well, yeah. The worst part is when you reach the level cap before you even finish the game.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. What the fuck, dude? But I will. Oh, go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Now I was gonna say it. I will say it is annoying, but it doesn't make me lose interest in the game because at that point I'm like, okay, I could just breeze through the game now since I hit the level cap. Because like, even if the game doesn't necessarily become easier, once I hit that level cap, I have no more incentive to go out of my way to fight shit to do missions unless it's for a trophy. Then I kind of just get right to the end of the game, which is could be kind of good because you know I'm speaking for myself right now. Sometimes I want to progress a story. But I'm a completionist, so I'm like, I gotta do this, I gotta do all this other shit. Fuck, I wanna get to the story, but I can't get to the story because I'm busy completing shit. But if I hit the level cap, I'm like, ah, fuck that shit. I'm just gonna go beat the game now. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Like, what's it called? God damn, I lost my train of thought.
Oh no.
It gets annoying when you're like you're trying to like beat the game and you reach the level cap, and then every time you defeat a monster or you beat like an enemy. Like, you just see that, like, and I think you mentioned this earlier, you see the XP going into you, but it's not adding to to anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like little stuff like that is kind of annoying. It's like, ah.
Yeah, like, for games like The Division, they at least give you, like, you know, once you would potentially reach the next level cap or the next level, they give you, like, a blue box or something. I'm like, okay, that's something at least, you know?
Yeah.
Here, for your trouble.
I'm laughing at something I'm looking at Twitter. I'll stop.
It's funny. Oh. I guess level 99 is essentially a level cap, but I always find that like, okay, yeah, you're literally you can earn every single thing in the game. That's really awesome. I like that. That's great.
You're right about that. But
when you're locking it down.
By the way, then you have games like Final Fantasy VIII where you can hit level 99. It doesn't amount to shit. You know?
Yeah, I got pissed. I hit the level cap. Everything levels up with you.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck's the point then? You know?
Yeah, when it locks you, yeah, that one it has level 99. Yeah, but because everything gains level. So like, if you were to beat the game at level 99, then it ends up being that the final boss might be a little bit more difficult than it usually is.
Yeah.
If you've reached it at a lower level, here's the fun thing: Final Fantasy VII does it.
Oh yeah.
When you fight Sephiroth, if you're a higher level and you're fighting Sephiroth, then he becomes even harder. I fought him at level 99, so he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, for me, when I beat Sephiroth, I was level like 92, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad, right? But then I was like, I'm gonna try this shit again, level 99, level grinding level 99. He was fucking hard, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting how that works.
throw 1,000 Knights of the Rounds at him.
You know? Yeah, Chris, what about you, man?
Well, level cap doesn't bother me that much as long as there's other stuff to go for, like getting better gear. Like, that's, I think that's why I like the Souls games so much, because it's not really about leveling up. Like, there's diminishing returns as you level up, so you're not really getting better stats. But you can alter your gear or alter your character, so you can level up your sword, your armor, and all that stuff. And so there's stuff to work for, and it takes a while.
Chris.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Say that again. It takes a while for what?
It takes a while to to grind all the materials you need.
Yeah.
That stuff. That's kind of what keeps you going. And then it's like, oh, well, I've been a knight. Let me try sorcery. So I go look for all the sorcery and stuff. And that also helped. Once you get that far, then you're like, well, I might as well platinum the game. I might as well get all the pyromancies and all this shit and just platinum it, because you get trophies.
Yeah. Oh, there's Brian. Hey, Brian, what about you, man? Level caps, what do you say?
I've been thinking about this, and I'm not really too sure where I stand. Because on the one hand, okay, the big thing that put me off the Division was that once you hit level 30, and then you start doing, like, all the end-level content, every other character just levels up past you. So hence, you can't really level up to their level. It's like, you get guys that are, level 32, 34, and it's like, hey, I'm stuck at level 30 now, so what the hell do I do? Oh, the game just says, oh, just play with more friends and be better. It's like, that's not really a strategy per se. That's just some bullshit. So I'm not a fan of that, but then at the same time, I understand why it is and why the need to do that. So I'm kind of like half like yes, no. But then at the same time, there's a game like Dragon's Dogma where you can level up to level 2, like level 200, I think it is. And the enemies don't scale even in New Game Plus. So, and you can go through like New Game Plus like 5 times, be like level 200, and then just like wipe the floor with everything just by walking through it. And that's immensely fun.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess I'm on the side of, I don't mind a level cap as long as it's high enough to the point where I can just stomp stuff for the fun of it and it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You know, Division, that is annoying. It's like, yo, I'm level 30. That motherfucker's 34. Really? Come on, man. What is this bullshit? You know, I don't like that at all. But you're right. It is fun when you hit that like super level cap and you just go through the game just smacking dudes and shit. You know, because you've earned it, man.
Right. The power creep is fun in some games. Division definitely doesn't have that. Like, we did that raid and everybody was a bullet sponge. And we're all like, gear score 500 and still can't shoot guys.
Yes, crazy. Destiny had that same problem, too. Yeah, Destiny had the same problem, too. It's like, I hit the level cap. These motherfuckers are higher level. And he's like, what the fuck? You know?
In the Division 2, did they ever fix the whole, if it's more than one person, like, the level, like, the way they make the enemies just incredibly fucking
they finally fixed that, yeah. Because it was like impossible at first, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, was
like
crazy.
If one player drops out, you're like, fuck. Oh man.
Oh, I have a question for Brian.
Uh-oh.
Does Warframe have a level cap?
Yes, it does. Level cap of 30. However, it slightly works a bit different in that enemies just scale to the point where you just don't do much damage. Enemy level doesn't really match your level, because at level 30, like, I can take on like level 120 and still be relatively okay. So it just kind of depends. But yeah, it does have a level cap, but you can still just stomp stuff because weapons scale as well. Like, there are some weapons that scale the damage based on, like, combo multipliers. So, hence, you just do stupid amounts of damage. Like, there are some people that have been able to do, like, over 1 million damage, which I don't know how that's even possible. So, yeah. It's insane.
Okay.
Crazy. All right. Moving on. Do you prefer having the same or new protagonist? Games like Grand Theft Auto have a one-off protagonist until GTA 5. Zelda has Link, etc. I prefer having new protagonists playing as the same character can get boring, although sometimes I wish some protagonists got the same treatment as Assassin's Creed did with Ezio Auditore and his 3 full-fledged games by Ubisoft. I'm sort of glad there will be a new Witcher in The Witcher 4. So yeah, I guess for he means like for a franchise, do you prefer for them to keep the same person or for them to move on? Like, you know, we've had instances where when we're having Metal Gear Solid 2, they changed fucking right. Snake. People got pissed. You know,
yeah, it's people get pissed because they fall in love with the main character. Like, so you have appealing characters. Like the same thing happened with Dead Rising. Like people love Frank West, so they released Dead Rising 2. It's like, okay, it's a new guy. I forgot his name already, and it's his story. People got pissed. People were writing into Capcom saying, "What the fuck? We want Frank West back?" They even put out another edition of the game that had Frank West in it because of the backlash. Like, so that happened with certain things, like GTA. Like, they just set the precedent that okay, each game is a new protagonist, and that's it. Like, and that worked, right? You just found somebody else, but you're doing kind of the same things. And it worked for that game, but for other games, I don't know. If you establish such a cult of personality with one character and you change it, man, you might face some backlash.
I feel like the Grand Theft Auto games, that at least the early protagonist, you know, like the first 3D one they did, where you know he kind of was just kind of a like he didn't have a personality almost.
Yeah, he didn't talk.
Kind of, Claude.
Yeah, Claude really didn't do much. Like, it wasn't until the later ones where they started to make characters that had, you know, more personalities to them. But what they did is they kind of made them really compelling characters. Like, I can't really name one bad Grand Theft Auto, more recent Grand Theft Auto protagonist. Even Claude had his charm.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. But no, I think you're right. When you have like games with stronger personalities, like Solid Snake, a little harder to get rid of, you know. Then you have other franchises. You know, if Riku was here, he'd be happy for me to mention this. You have East, right? The same motherfucker for 9 games, you know. Adol.
Adol. You know,
you get rid of him, you see what happens. People will get mad.
He's for East. He is Link. He is that game's Link. If they were ever to make a Zelda, well, there is one Zelda that doesn't have actual Link in it. But the thing is, I think the minute you got rid of a Link-ish character from the Zelda games, it might end up not working out so well. But then again, the way they make Link is he's kind of like a blank slate. He never says anything. You know, people talk at him. He never really talks to them.
Yeah. I guess going back to the question, what do you prefer?
I'm a bit of both because like, you know, again, you think of situations like Raiden, you know, people didn't like when they thought the Infamous games were going to get a new character.
Well, this thing with Infamous, they said that was Cole McGrath. It's just like, he just looks different now. People didn't like that either. You know,
they didn't like the character design change. I mean, I don't know how people, I mean, personally, I don't like the latest guy in the Infamous games. What's his face? You know, Troy Baker. I didn't care for that character. That's part of the reason why I didn't buy that
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
That's what he is. Troy Baker. I mean, he is. He's kind of douchey Troy Baker guy. I mean, he doesn't really. I personally didn't care for that character, and it's part of the reason why I didn't buy it. Let's see what else. Like, who's another character games that? I mean, Gears of War is kind of stepping into that territory right now. Where they
Devil May Cry does that.
Yeah, Devil May Cry, the most recent. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, also, yeah, with Dante. But the thing is that I feel like Dante was still in the game. You know, like even with Nero, when they switched him in, they kind of made him into a devil, like a friggin' Dante clone, sort of, when they first introduced him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody mentioned Gears. Yeah, they're doing that. Now you got the girl.
Gears has got a new character. Like
Girls of War.
Like they have her, or the last game that they had Marcus Fenix's son.
But Marcus Fenix is still here. It was still there, too.
He's still there to say, hey, I'm still here.
And looking at the trailers for this one, looks like Marcus is still just going to be there again.
I guess they get rid of his son. He's not cool enough to be in there.
Yeah, right. but yeah, I'm gonna go with your answer. It depends on the character. You know, like if the character is like
Assassin, like Assassin's Creed is the biggest, one of the biggest examples. Like, friggin' Ezio is so much better than friggin'
Cole.
Not the first guy.
Altair.
Altair.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't mind them switching them out because you kind of expect that from that franchise.
You now you expected it, but you really didn't expect it when they first did it. Remember?
Oh no, you didn't. But I wasn't like mad when they switched out Altair for Ezio. I was like, okay, you know.
It's the same reason why he got Ezio got so many games, because he was such a beloved character. But then you don't see that with fucking Native American guy.
Yeah, no, yeah, fucking Connor. Yeah,
that guy was horrible.
I have a question for you guys.
Oh,
so,
why is it?
So the Uncharted franchise has been critically acclaimed. They have five or six great games if you include the Vita version, and then Lost Legacy. That includes someone that's not Nathan Drake. But let's say they make the new Uncharted, the new big installment of the Uncharted franchise for the next gen consoles. I mean, I find it difficult to put Nathan Drake back into the whole, you know, oh, I'm coming back to do this now that
retired his ass. No more Nathan Drake. He's done. Don't bring him back.
Exactly.
I'll get mad if you bring him back, you know?
So how would you feel about another Uncharted game with a different person?
No problem at all. Go for it, man. Maybe we'll have the one with Troy Baker for Manny, you know?
Here's a funny thing. I liked that version of Troy Baker.
Yeah. If you make they're going to make another Uncharted game. Yeah, you got to have somebody else. I wouldn't mind playing as Chloe again. She was badass, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. All right. Chris, how do you feel? Oh, go ahead, Brian. Okay. Since you're talking, go ahead.
Yeah. Enough Tony. Like, how you feel about that is how I felt about God of War 4. Well, God of War. Yeah. I'm just like, I felt like the God of War trilogy, like, made his story. Like, that was Kratos' story. Like, his story was done, you know? He has done his nonsense. He did his BS, whatever. His thing was done. I didn't want to see any more God of War games with him in it. And then when they announced God of War, I'm like, I don't want to play as Kratos. Like, his story for me is done. Like, he had his arc.
So that's why you were a Debbie Downer about that game.
I told you from the get-go. It's like, look, I don't want to play Kratos. Like, if they did another game with his brother or something, then yeah, I'd be all for it. Like, great, you know. I feel like once a character's arc is over, there's no need to drag him in for more games. I think that they should just let things lie. I don't mind them bringing like a trilogy out for a character and then just ending it, like how they did for Assassin's Creed. Like, hey, this is this character's story, and then there's this character's story, and then that character's story. Like, they're all intertwined because they're all part of Assassins. Blah 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 blah. But it's their trilogy, and then they have their trilogy, and also. I feel like that's how things should be. But with Dad of War, it's just like, hey, let's bring Kratos back and make him have quote-unquote emotions. Like, he already had emotions. Like, the whole point of his story in the first place, in the first game, was him having emotions and him dealing with them. Well, quote-unquote dealing with them. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm dealing with my emotions.
By the way, Brian, I don't think you were here for the episodes where we officially christened that game Beard Man and Son.
No, I definitely not.
Yeah, so there you go. If you hear us say Beard Man and Son, we're talking about God of War 2018. I have mixed feelings on that, because on the one hand, I completely see where you're coming from, and I agree with it to some extent. But I also liked having Kratos back, so I might be a little biased there, you know, because I love Kratos, you know what I'm saying? But you're right, though. Generally speaking, if the character's arc is done, let him rest. Bring another one, you know?
I also feel like that game also could have worked as another title.
It could have, yeah.
It didn't actually need to be Kratos. You could literally have just said, oh, yeah, it's a guy with a hidden history.
Yeah, boy. And I also like Christopher Judge as Kratos, too.
Oh, yeah, I was.
That's my boy, man. Teal'c, son.
Yeah. Indeed.
Indeed. He said, oh, man, when Kratos said that one, he said it one time in the game. He goes, indeed. I was like, oh, he gave it to me, man. He gave it to me.
I think the guy, I think freaking what's his, Corey Barlog knew that everybody was waiting for him to say at least once.
Yeah, of course he didn't say it like Teal'c, because you know Teal'c, he's all comments with like indeed, you know. Mm-hmm. He was like indeed. I'm like, shit, that's scary, man. But he gave it to me, man. It was good.
Give it to me.
And Nate is bringing in the chat Mass Effect, and that is a franchise where I was like, oh, I'm perfectly fine carrying on with Mass Effect without Shepard, even though I like Shepard a lot. They set up that whole story and that whole world to do multiple stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just didn't execute it right, but...
Yeah, you're right, because with Mass Effect Andromeda, that was the right idea, at least. Get some new characters in there, new setting, whatever, right? Yeah, but you're right, the execution was all fucked up. you know, as well as the graphics.
The graphics.
The graphics.
Those don't look like Tegra graphics.
Not Tegra graphics, or not Titan.
Oh, man. Yeah, Chris, what's your take on characters, man?
Well, I already said, I mentioned Frank West, I mentioned Solid Snake, but for me personally, yeah. I like the same guy, especially if you get attached to them. Like, if mm-hmm. I could get another game with Arthur Morgan, and I know that's not possible, yeah. I would love, like, another Red Dead with him, or like a, like, go further back in time so I could play as Arthur again, man, because I love it.
Yeah, he's fucking amazing. I agree with that. But with Red Dead, yeah, Red Dead is interesting because I can't say without spoiling shit, but it's definitely a certain character's franchise at this point, you know, even though he's not around either. It's going to be interesting right. to do with Red Dead 3 when that comes out in 2027, you know,
oh, yeah.
on PlayStation 6. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. Glorious War in the House. So his first, actually, both of his questions are kind of related. All right. Okay, the first one is, do you think that Disney versus Sony Pictures beef will impact the Spider-Man PS4 games, or I guess PS5 games? And then he just goes on to add, Disney is petty. Look at what they did to the comic book runs of Fantastic Four and X-Men when Fox had him. Yeah, they fucked up. Do you think that this whole Disney, Sony's thing is going to affect the future Spider-Man games?
It's a different deal. It's a different deal. It's between Marvel Games and Sony. So I think that situation, it's going to be just business as usual with that Spider-Man. I think the deal with the deal that Sony Pictures and Disney, Disney, Pictures had, or not Disney, Marvel Studios had, is a bit of a different deal, you know. And I don't think that it's going to really touch it.
Yeah, I guess he's worried. He was just worried that, you know, that because of the pettiness that it may affect it the way it affected the comics.
Yeah, like Manny said, that's Sony Pictures, and I'm very thankful their decisions don't affect PlayStation. Yeah, they're so fucking stupid.
Sony is the biggest money maker in their thing, and they obviously, I'm sure, and I'm surprised that nobody from Marvel Games actually commented on this situation and said, no, this will not affect any of the future Spider-Man games.
You mean PlayStation's their biggest moneymaker, right?
Yes, PlayStation is their biggest money.
Yeah. I heard that, I don't know, I don't even know if you want to talk about the whole movie stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. We got time to fill up.
So, I think the whole issue was that Disney was getting 5% of the revenue from ticket sales.
5% on a dollar. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wanted 50-50.
So they wanted 50-50, and they said, and Sony said no. And I think I think I read this somewhere that they made a counter either they Disney or Sony made a counter offer that Disney gets 30% or 25% or something like that. And someone refused to do that. And I'm like, that shit just fucking pisses me off. Cause it's like, it's still a significant jump from 5%. So it's like, whoever's messing that whole thing up, is just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's petty and stupid because it's all based off of dumb money. Number one, like Nintendo, Disney was literally making money off of the licensing rights. So all the T-shirts and all the Spider-Verse T-shirts, the Spider-Man Homecoming stuff, all that stuff was being produced through Marvel's things. So that meant they were catching all the money off of that shit. Yeah. The only reason I can see why they didn't decide they wanted to get more of the off of the movie sales is maybe the licensing didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do. You know, like the merchandise.
I don't think it's just that. I think Disney's hurt facets of the company, like their parks are a downturn. Galaxy's Edge didn't work out the way they wanted. So they're squeezing other parts, right? So they're like, okay, we got this Marvel deal. Let's renegotiate Spider-Man, get more money out of it. Now, what's Sony incentive to sign on to a 50 co-financing? There isn't any. Because the next thing is Disney could muscle it. If they get 50%, Sony doesn't have a controlling stake the movie rights to Spider-Man. So they have no incentive to go, right? So they offered them 25% on the dollar, and they, and Disney said no. But it's like, you don't have a leg to stand on, because if they take back the rights, they could still make movies.
Like, you can understand both sides in a way. It's like, yeah, Sony only has the rights to the actual movie of the movie franchise, not any of the merchandise or anything. So Disney is capitalizing on that and making money off of that 100% of it. And so Sony doesn't want to give them that much of the money, because they know in the back end they're not going to get any of the profits from merchandising. Mm-hmm. And then Disney's side is like, well, we revitalized your franchise and made it a $1 billion franchise now. So, and we co-finance it 50-50. So why should we only be getting 5% of it? So it's like, I can understand both sides of it, but man, at the end of the day, we are the ones that lose.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that we lose out in the deal. I don't want us 100% Sony made Spider-Man, because we will go back to the Andrew Garfield movies.
Oh God!
We'll go back to that,
or the end of the Tobey one.
And they're on their high horse now, because Venom did well.
Oh yeah, 800 million. Like, I think,
but that's like a different animal, right? Yeah, it's a different animal. And they look. This Spider-Man is the most successful Sony Pictures, right? So, but it's not because they made it. It's because it's really a joint effort. It's really because Marvel stepped in. And like Carlos said, revitalize the franchise. That's why this movie, it has all the inclusiveness of all the Marvel stuff they've done so far. And it had Kevin Feige consulting and all these other guys. So you had all, and if you take that away, if you put Amy Pascal in charge of Spider-Man again, you might as well flush it right down, as far as I'm concerned.
It's only going to come right back after all those movies tank, you know? All right, Marvel, we'll give you the shit back.
Here's a fun thing, though. As far as anybody knows, that Andrew Garfield is still going to be Spider-Man.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Sorry.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Man, he had that inside info. Man, they're getting him back. No. He's gonna still stay Spider-Man, but he just won't be part of the MCU anymore. Yeah, this corporatism shit, man, it's crazy. You know, it's like, yo, just work it out for the fans, bro. Mm-hmm. Fuck, you're all gonna make money anyway. You know,
exactly. You're making billions of dollars off of this shit. You just set somebody out there. You know, set that thing out there, especially with how well the last one did. People are gonna go see that new one.
Yeah, it's like, especially with the way the last one ended. It's like, come on, guys, you can't make this shit work. You're all gonna get paid. Come on, man.
Here's the one thing, though. They commissioned the same guys who did write the last one to write the new one.
Oh, they
whatever
did?
The new one is going to be. So it's going to be written by the same guys.
Yeah.
It's not going to be handled by the Marvel Studios people.
Yeah, they just won't mention that everybody was gone for 5 years or shit like that, you know?
Well, it's going to be. It's definitely, you know, like, especially with the way the low and last, they don't need to look at any of the stuff on there. The only thing that they have to do now is, like, okay, what are they going to do with Jon Favreau's character, who is obviously part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of a character? What are you going to do with him?
How do you disappear all the Iron Man references?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how do you get rid of all the Iron Man references? How is he going to? He can't keep his Iron Spider thing. His whole suit has to change.
Yeah. They need to work this shit out. This is stupid.
Yeah, like, essentially what needs to happen is, like, they need to just toss out essentially all the stuff that connects it to the MCU, and then essentially just keep all the other parts that are not fully connected. Well, you have the new Mary Jane, you have, you know, you have a bunch of the other, you know, MJ, you have all the other stuff, which is fine. But yeah, he can't dress the same way. He can't have that super suit, you know, all that stuff. You'd probably have to set it a little bit further in the future in order to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking up.
That won't affect the game.
It won't affect the game. Don't even worry.
The game is going to probably continue where it left off, just like anything else, because it was a totally different deal.
And it was always exclusive to a Sony platform, so
yeah,
you know, they're not going to.
Yeah, well, change, you know, that. Here's the thing: it was a situation where Marvel was hiring, you know, made the deal with Marvel Games made the deal with Sony and with Insomniac, right?
Insomniac, yeah.
Yeah, it's made the deal with Sony and Insomniac to make this game. So it's them paying them to do the game.
Yep, pretty much. All right, man. And the last question of the night, unless anybody has any extras you want to throw in the chat right now. The question is, with the purchase of Insomniac, will Sony acquire more studios or will they pull a Disney and just buy publishers? Sony has $20 billion in cash for investments. They recently just purchased EMI, for example. Chris, you know about this shit more than we do. What do you say about that? Specifically the part about the money they have available to buy studios and shit.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Disney has spent a lot of money. Like, they spent $4.5 billion for Lucasfilm and all the Lucas properties. I forgot how much the Marvel deal was, and then now was it $8 billion for Fox? So, I mean, they've been just throwing out money left and right, integrating all this stuff, but I don't think they can keep doing that, especially if this is falling Sony, out with Sony tells... Wait, what are we talking
we're
about?
We're talking about Disney. We're talking about Sony now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Sony, the PlayStation essentially getting, Sony PlayStation getting... Insomniac and
yeah, because like he's saying they have $20 billion to spend on studios if they want. So, do you think they're going to buy more studios?
Here's the thing. I don't think they need to. And in the same situation, the reason that Microsoft is doing that is because they finally realized, hey, we need games and we need to crank them out at a faster rate. So, I don't know the logic with closing down like Lionhead and stuff, but they went out and acquired a bunch of studios. Now, Sony has a lot of talent. Like, acquiring Insomniac was smart. They want to keep them in-house. They want to keep the stuff exclusive. They got Spider-Man did well, and now they got Ratchet and Clank and all that shit. And they can keep them out of Microsoft's hands. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft had to get Insomniac, and Sony was just like, no, we're just going to buy them. And so they have this pool of talent. So they have Naughty Dog, and they make something. And they have Sucker Punch, and they make something. That now they have Insomniac, they make something. They have Santa Monica, they make something. They can have other studios, but I don't think they need to acquire really anyone else. I don't know. The guys who made No Man, they own that?
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
But they do own Media Molecule, though.
Yeah,
they own Media Molecule.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think. Like, there's enough for them to work with, and I think there's a lot going in, especially going into the next system. They may not make big moves like that. They may be pouring all their effort into PS5 development and all that shit. So I don't think you'll see those moves like that. That Microsoft made, because they're leading this gen. And their titles are doing remarkably well. So I don't think they need to change up that talent. Who's the studio that made Bend? They own Bend also. So and they just did Days Gone. And so they have all these guys. I don't see them acquiring any more studios, to be honest with you.
Yo, man, imagine. Imagine if Sony buys Platinum Games.
Oh, shit.
They don't have the only Japanese studio they have is really the Sony Japan studios, they call it, right?
Oh, is it the people who like kind of own the people who make Ico and shit? Team Ico?
No, they don't. The Team Ico is kind of disbanded now. They're gone. But they're now something else. I guess the guy created another company. But anyway, it's the company that made essentially the guys who made Gravity Rush, they make all of the Japanese games. You know the was it the Puppeteer?
Japan Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's literally their name, just Japan Studio.
Yeah.
The fuck was I gonna say? I was gonna make.
Also, there's the Gran Turismo guys as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, Polyphony.
Polyphony.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like basically, just because Sony bought Insomniac doesn't mean they're gonna go on a buying spree all of a sudden. You know, it's just something that just made sense for them to do. You know what I'm saying?
I think in this situation it made more sense because Insomniac just had made probably the best selling game, one of the best selling games of what was it, last year?
It's right? Actually the, yeah, not only that, it's their best selling game of all time.
Exactly. So they did that to essentially mark their territory, be like, okay, we know somebody's going to snatch you up, so we're going to get you.
Oh, and by the way, yeah, they also own Guerrilla Games.
They also
Sony owns a lot of shit. By the way, I'm just, I could be wrong here, but I believe Spider-Man is probably the second biggest selling game of last year. Red Dead is the biggest selling game of last year. But Spider-Man made a lot of money, so it makes sense that Sony. And the funny thing is, you know, I've heard this is just rumors right now. You know,
I don't look at those numbers because I know that Smash Brothers outsold Spider-Man.
Oh, get those numbers, man. Get those numbers.
Give me a number.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Get those numbers, man. I'm curious about this now. Yeah, I forgot about Smash Brothers. I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh yeah. Anyway, rumor. This is a funny rumor, because especially with a Control coming out on Tuesday. Look for my review tomorrow morning. Yeah. Hey, man. Your boy. You know. I'll tell you, a little bit.
Can you give a little bit of a time frame on that one?
9 a.m.
I might read that one while I'm going to work.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Over on geek.com. Right. You'll see my full review of Control. And yes, I beat the game. So, yes, it's a complete review of the game.
Nice.
So, again, though, take this with the illest, thickest, fattest grain of salt. The rumor is that Sony's going to buy Remedy. I don't know about that.
I've heard the Remedy rumor.
Yeah. But you know what? To be honest, Remedy actually makes sense as a Sony
studio. They really do, because they're cinematic as hell, man.
It just seems like, I mean, like if they didn't get them in the eye, okay. But it would make perfect sense if they kind of did.
Yeah, hold on. I'm reading this right now. So this is coming from Games Radar, right? So Games Radar is not some bullshit site, you know. Mm-hmm. Not like, you know, game, you know whatever.
Yeah,
bullshit,
I'll stop you.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Where is this coming from?
In the example in the question, he mentioned EMI. Isn't that a music label?
Yeah, he's just basically saying that Sony has money to buy shit. That's what he's trying to say.
Okay, but over the entire company, not PlayStation has $20 billion. He's saying Sony.
Yeah, Sony. No, saying and, Sony. And, he's saying Sony.
Yeah, Sony. They're not going to focus all that money into just PlayStation. I mean, PlayStation is the biggest moneymaker, but they still have Sony Pictures, Sony Music. They have their electronics division, I said, whenever their financial report, they have a life insurance division in Japan.
They gotta sell Walkmans,
man. Well, they gotta sell all sorts of stuff. They're still making TVs. They're still making electronics, capacitors. So they got all this stuff. So that money is spread out towards all sorts of investments, not focused specifically on PlayStation or game studios. But that being said, that they could buy, sure, they could do that. I don't know if they will. I don't think they need to, but I could.
Yeah. Okay, so, and I'm reading this from, Games Radar, who took it from Push Square. So it says that sources that Push Square knows says that it's heard from a number of sources that Sony is lining up a bid, although the company in this case being a Remedy, recent acquisition of the Alan Wake brand cast some doubt on that speculation. And then they went on to say that right now it's kind of neutral whether they are going to buy it or not. Like, apparently something's happening, but it's not really set in stone. But, you know, that would be pretty interesting. That would be a megaton, you know, them buying Remedy.
Yeah, them getting Remedy.
That would be big, but I think you're right. Like, the Remedy's games fit Sony's, you know, a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
I'm surprised they never got Quantic Dream.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. And because think about it, like, Sony this week releases a game called Erica, right? You know, obviously different than this. It's a full motion video game, but it's that same type of supernatural shit going on, you know. Sony's willing to do shit like that, so I can see it.
By the way, did you play that one too?
I reviewed it, actually. My review's been up since Tuesday, I believe. Go check that out over on geek.com as well. Carlos, what's your question?
So off topic, and it's really quick.
Yeah.
Chris, are you on your Mac again? I think that's a yes.
I'm not on my Mac.
Oh,
wow, really? Because you're kind of like you're on your Mac.
Oh, that's crazy. Let me check my connection.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. Though.
So what the
we have another question if we're moving on.
Yes. Actually, are we moving on? Or are we anything else to say?
I mean, I think we're good.
Wait, what's the question? What's the fucking question? We're done. Go ahead. What's Fergus's question? You can read it now, man.
Like jump in like really quick.
Of course. Tony.
Go for it.
Oh, according to VG charts, so take that with as much salt as you like it. Best selling games last year in order from highest to lowest: Red Dead 2, Black Ops 4, FIFA 19, Smash Brothers, Spider Man, Mario Kart. What the fuck? And then God of War.
Got you. I forget about fucking Call of Duty. People keep buying that shit and FIFA. All right. So Spider Man, what, number 6 in that?
Number five.
Okay, so it's in the top 5. Damn, man, those fucking sports games, bro.
Yo, man, that's like crack for people, man.
That's my blind spot. I forget those exist. You know,
that's my blind side.
Okay. By the way, the January NPDs. Wait, what the fuck? I gotta go 2019. I want to check something. I was like, hold on. Even though there is gonna have another Call of Duty game too, obviously. Call of Duty. Give me a sec, people, and then we'll answer your question, Mr. Fergus.
We'll fill up the show. Hello, my baby. Hello, money. Hello, my goddamn gal.
You probably don't want to sing that song because it's probably considered problematic.
God damn it. Oh, is it problematic? Is it? No. Everything's problematic. Well,
the frog is.
Oh, shit.
Nah, it's not problematic on Throwdown, man. Anyway.
The frog is considered problematic.
Yeah.
All right. On the WB.
All right, man. So Fergus asked, Fergus asked, what handheld system exclusive games need to have a console remake re-release? That's a good question.
Handheld games that need a console re-release? Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Yes. That one, Persona 4, thanks to re-come back on consoles, you know.
Golden, man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, see, two golden games. There you go. Here's one for Riku. Killzone Mercenary, man.
Yeah, he'd like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say the two Ready at Dawn's The God of Wars, but we got those on console already.
Yeah, those already came out. Didn't they put them on PS4 as well?
Probably.
Yeah, God of War Collection 2.
Nice. Mm-hmm. The Revenge.
So, his memories are...
Oh, go ahead.
Is Memories of Chancleta on the consoles?
It actually is on PS4. You know that.
Yes, it is.
I already got a remaster, so.
Because I got it on the Vita. I was...
Yeah.
Oh,
fucking Samus Returns. He's to be on Switch. Oh,
Bravely Default, Bravely Second, man.
Yeah, put those on
console.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
You know? Shin Megami Tensei 4, put that shit on console. Man.
Shin Megami.
That's a good question, Manny. What about you, man? What other handheld games need to? I would have said Peace Walker, but that came on console.
I said Go to the Abyss. Yeah, Peace Walker, but I want that shit to get a friggin' texture pack, man. That I mean, granted, it looked okay on there, but man, you could make that look better.
You want a Fox Engine update? Yeah,
Peace Walker. You want a Fox Engine update? They already remade the game of Metal Gear 5. Let's see. I would say, what's another really good handheld game? I mean, Gravity Rush already got it. And it's actually a really good HD remaster of it too. Runs at 60 frames per second and everything.
Oh, nice.
Not even Gravity Rush 3 runs at 60.
Three.
Gravity Rush 2. I got more exclusive than you got. let's see. Damn, I'm having a brain fart here. Resident Evil Revelations.
That came out.
That already came out on consoles. Metal Gear Ghost Babel. Let's do with that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
excuse
me. I have a couple. God of War, Ghost of Sparta, and Chains of Olympus.
They already had those on console.
Oh, what?
Yeah, man. They had them on PS3 and PS4.
God of War Collection 2. Brian just said it.
Wait.
Come on, Carlos.
Brian literally just said that shit 5 minutes ago, son.
Right, you know, I ignore every other word you say, man.
Yeah, they had those games on PS3 and PS4, as I just learned tonight.
Yo, I didn't know that, and I didn't hear that.
Yo, you need to get on it, bro.
Fuck, yeah, I definitely do.
Play those now, man.
And it makes sense Brian would know, because he's the one that he just caught up to.
He is the God of War. You don't know this.
Yeah, I didn't play the game on PS4, but I did play it on PSP, then played on PS3. You got the Platinum 2, son, on both.
Yo, man, so you want to tell me that Metal Gear Peace Walker is on the consoles, too?
It is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
No, I knew that.
It's not on PlayStation 4, though.
No, it's not. Yeah.
But it does run on. But for those of you, it does run on the Xbox. You know, the not Game Pass, but the previous, you know, old games. It can run on there. They recently announced that one and Metal Gear 2 that run on it, and 3.
We need it might be two.
Xbox has it all right now. I mean, if you want to go back and play some of those older games, they got it right there. You just can't play Metal Gear 1.
Man, I wish that was on the PS4. Is the Metal Gear Collection on the PS4?
No, it's not. It's because Metal Gear Collection and Metal Gear Solid 4 are not on there.
Man, what the hell is wrong with with Konami?
They're not, well, you know, the that's a loaded question.
Here's the one thing. It's like it's those stupid what are those games? Games made for the PlayStation 3. It's those stupid
cell games.
Yeah, it's those cell processor games that gets everything, right?
So it might not be like a straight port for collection to the other.
No.
Yeah, it would be pretty hard to bring Metal Gear Solid.
The other ones, the reason why they got 2 and you know, they can probably easily get 2 and 3 because it's already on an Xbox, so it's running fine on there.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, here's the thing. We don't know what Blue Point's up to, so
if they need to bring Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core on the consoles, man. With updated cinematics, excuse me.
That would be an interesting one because that one's a PSP one, and where's that one?
Yeah,
and it's
like Final Fantasy VII.
It's a pre. I mean, it's the prequel, right? It's the Zack.
Yeah, it's the prequel. It's the Zack game.
The Zack game.
The Zack Sephiroth and. What's the name of the guy with the red hair? Yeah. Cloud's in it too for a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm Cloud.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, I'm Cloud. How's it going?
man.
By the way, this is completely off topic. I don't like as you guys were talking, I was watching the Mandalorian trailer. I don't like the fact that it looks cool.
Oh, okay.
I thought he looked badass when he grappled the guy through the door.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Him. No, because my thing is I'm trying to stay away from Star Wars now, but I'm like, that still looks kind of tight.
Yo, man.
I'll be strong. I'm not going to watch it.
Well, I mean, you can't watch it unless you have Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, that's also going to help too, I guess. But it looked good, though. I'm just saying.
Yo,
cool.
Yo, man, that sounded like you're going back on your word.
No. I'm going to stay strong, man.
You said you're going to watch episode 9, right?
Well, yeah. That was going to be your last? Yeah, that's going to be my last, and I'm done with Star Wars until they get new people to run that shit, you know?
Yo, man, that's going to be your last stand?
That's it, bro. Got to, man. That's why not to get too off topic, that's why I've dropped a lot of shit lately. I'm like, listen, man, I could stay here and be mad about it or just skip it. I'm skipping stuff.
You need more anime in your life,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man, I don't even watch TV anymore, man.
You're in Bizarro universe now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now just fill in the void with some YouTube videos. It's crazy.
Old Tony be like, what?
Yeah. Well, what? You know, old Tony doesn't know about what's going on in the current, you know, climate, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
old Tony's too busy. You already know what's going on, man.
Yeah, man.
Old Tony's is too busy being a Sega fanboy, you know?
He's like, he's like, first you tell me you bought a friggin' place, you have more than one PlayStation in your house, and then you tell me you stopped watching Star Wars?
What? Like, who are you, man? Like, yo, let me teach you of what's coming to you in the next 15 years, man. Strap in. It's about to get bumpy. Oh, man. Oh, God. I think that's it, right?
Why are you giving a shit about that politics stuff? Just read comics and play video games.
Yeah, read the books I'm reading now, bro. You tell me that shit. It's all trash.
Did Fergus ask two questions? I think he asked two questions.
Where's the other one? I only got the handheld one.
What? Okay, so I'll read it. I think it's this one. What are some series that released a decent first game, bad second game, then a good sequel? Oh shit! Someone had. Then a good sequel after that.
Damn, that's an interesting one.
Decent first game, bad second game, then a good sequel after that.
God of War.
Oh, someone mentioned that.
That's a good answer.
Oh, God of War. God of War 1 wasn't decent. It was really good.
No. Yeah. Okay, well, the question was decent, bad, and then great. Is that how it was?
And then good.
Oh, okay, hold on. Can I just say great? Because God of War 1, fucking brilliant game. God of War 2, eh. Then God of War 3, holy shit, amazing. Was crazy.
Yeah, God of War 3 was fucking crazy. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, people are saying Devil May Cry, Metal Gear Solid.
Ooh, Devil May Cry is a good one. Yeah, because the first game was fucking awesome. Second game was Booty Batiks. And then the third one was badass. Third one's probably still the best Devil May Cry, objectively speaking.
Some people would say Mario. Not me, though.
Mario Brothers?
Yeah, because, you know, the Super Mario Brothers 2 was not even a real Mario Brothers game.
But it was a good game. You could
it was a good Mario game, though. It was a good game, though.
Yeah, like I said, not me, but a lot of people would say.
No, I understand that mentality, but I like Mario 2.
You could say the first Mario game, the one where they're in the pipes, that game was okay. Mario, which was the sequel.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Super Mario Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, well. You know, I was figured to say Mario.
Yeah, those Mario Brothers.
The Mario Brothers series, you'd probably say Mario Brothers, which was an okay game.
Yeah,
Super
the arcade
Mario
one.
Was an awesome game. Two, the Super Mario Brothers 2, which would be Mario Brothers 3.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking about Super Mario Brothers.
No, what other series did that? I think Far Cry. I think the first Far Cry was a decent game. I'd say was good. The second game was bad. And then the third game was awesome.
Yo, Chris, here's one for you, man. Violence and Empathy says it's Dark Souls.
Ah, but Dark Souls 2 wasn't bad. It was just misguided. And then I wouldn't even say Dark Souls 3 was amazing. Like, it was good. But, people don't like Dark Souls 2. Well, the story doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really fit in the lore of the rest. It's still a good game. It's still Dark Souls at its core. It's the same.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, Violence and Empathy. He says Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid is an okay game? No.
No. He says Metal Gear Solid series. He says the first game was great. Metal Gear Solid 2 fell off, and then 3 was fantastic.
Metal Gear Solid 2 was still great.
Yeah.
You know. It's a good game. It's just the problem. I think the biggest problem with it is the fact that Raiden's in it. You know?
By the way, that's what I would tell my older self, or younger self, like, yo, son, want to know what's coming in the future? Pay really close attention to the Raiden section near the end of Metal Gear Solid 2. That's the future. It's not just crazy babbling from, you know, virtual Colonel Campbell. That shit is coming, man. That shit is coming. Listen to every word. All that's going to come true. What the fuck are you talking about, old Tony? You'll see. Why are you skinnier than me, old Tony? Man. All right. Misguided sounds biased. Chris, I guess that's what? For you. You said
because the story wasn't great, but the game was still good. If the gameplay was bad, they didn't fundamentally change anything about the game. It's just the story was weird. You know? But it's the same thing. I don't agree with him on Metal Gear Solid 2. It's like, yeah, I don't like Raiden, I like Solid Snake way better, but still
a great game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That Mac, bro.
Yeah, right? Fuck. I think we're done here, and we're about to reach an hour and a half, so we pulled it off, people. You know?
Man, we did it without Brett.
Yeah, what's up with that, man? Yeah, if it was Brett, you know, we'd be all right. I'd be, like, struggling to keep it under 2 hours.
Because we started talking about Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do, you know?
You got to find those, you know, those loopholes.
You could spam regen items in DS2, breaking the gameplay. Chris, do you agree with that?
You could also spam lightning, but they patched that out. I'm pretty sure the DLC fixed that. And then if you get the PS4 version, which I have that one, they fixed all that. You can't do that.
Damn that, Mac.
Sorry, you can't do that anymore with the update. If you get the PS4 version, you can't do that. anymore.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, we were talking about Mario Brothers releasing a Super Mario Brothers release in America. Japan obviously had a proper Super Mario Brothers 2 sequel.
Mm-hmm. Which is what the Lost Levels
Lost was. Levels, that's right, yeah. And it's funny because our version of Super Mario Brothers 2, to them, they call it Super Mario USA or something like that. I was actually watching that the other day. You know, what's his face? Gaming historian Manny. He did a video on that. Yeah,
Gaming Historian's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game is a totally different game in Japan.
Yeah. Glorious War says, yo, Tony, give us the down low on Control. Sorry, buddy. I'm under embargo. I can't say shit. You know? Unlike these other guys, man, I don't say nothing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to do it. I could tease this because it's, you know, kind of interesting. We can't tell you too much about it. Okay, so I've interviewed a lot of people in this gaming industry, you know, developers and all that. Today, I interviewed the most interesting person of all because I've known this motherfucker since he was 13. I interviewed Manny today.
Yep.
It's hilarious, you know?
Yep. I guess stay tuned for that one, right?
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to come up, but it's going to be for Contra Rogue Core. You know, I try to ask questions that are a little different than what he's been getting and stuff. So, very interesting. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I'm interviewing somebody that I've like, you know, and I still had to be like, professional about it. Like, I asked him something. Usually when Manny and I talk, it's always back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just me asking a question and then me shun the fuck up until he finished, you know? Oh, well, here's another franchise, Bioshock. Bioshock first, you know, most people say the first game was great, second one fell off, and then Infinite was really good.
But except for Brett.
Oh, yeah. Yo, DJ Chain, you crazy, son. Or Chayon. Did you guys discuss the Popeye's chicken sandwich? No, because we're a video game podcast, but it's popped up even tonight, you know. Actually, but you know what? Since we still have a little bit of time, Carlos, why don't you give us the official throwdown review of the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Not only is this the official throwdown review, it's the definitive review of the Popeye's chicken sandwich. So I went to Popeye's on Friday after work, and I waited in line. This dude in front of me took like almost 10 minutes just to order whatever the hell he was ordering. I'm like, it's the first day where the chicken sandwich is getting released in this specific Popeye's. Why the hell aren't you getting the chicken sandwich? They don't know, man. I got there's two varieties. There's a classic and there's a spicy. So I will say this, my gold standard of chicken sandwiches for me is, and this is, I get this once a month at least, is the spicy deluxe chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, which is the number 2 or 4 or something like that. That's my gold standard. And this one, it's either on par or it might surpass it. For a few reasons. So first of all, the classic it's okay. It's really good, but it needs sauce. If you have like a sauce that you prefer, like put it on that shit, and then it'll be all good. The spicy is what I prefer because it has a little bit more flavor. But yeah, man, it's the patty is really good. The buns are good. They have like this sauce thing that's pretty good, and it's. The meat, I don't know how they do it. It's juicy, it's tender, and the outer layer is crispy, and it was really good, man. I was looking at all the expectations on Twitter, so the expectations were set super high for this, and I think it lived up to the expectations. I still wouldn't put it over the spicy deluxe and the Chick-fil-A. I might just say they're on the same par. I still need to go more times to this Popeyes to see if they have the consistency that Chick-fil-A has, because Chick-fil-A consistency, I don't think there's anything better. So yeah, if you go to Popeyes, get the spicy, and if you get the classic, if you don't like the spicy, just get the classic and get a sauce like a honey mustard or something that you like, because I think the sauce will help a lot. But yeah, two thumbs up for me.
Nice.
And I'm not under embargo, guys.
You know, DJ says he's scared to go to Popeyes to get the chicken sandwich because he's seen too many fights. Like, damn, motherfuckers beat each other up over chicken sandwiches. That's what's going on right down the streets, man.
I'm lucky that I live in a low-key neighborhood where it's like stuff like that that's trending doesn't really affect my area. It's like really like people don't really care about that kind of stuff. And the Popeyes, I think I'm their biggest customer because like every time I go, there's not a lot of people.
Interesting.
So yeah.
Yeah, I saw this one tweet right now. These fucking idiots. So they go to this Popeyes, right? They buy a fuck ton of these sandwiches, right? They run out, obviously. So these dudes are outside the chicken joint trying to sell these chicken to people, and no one's buying them. It's like, of course they're not going to buy them. Your cold ass chicken. Fuck out of here, you know?
Yeah.
They're trying to scalp it.
Yeah. So basically, these guys spent like $100 worth of chicken sandwiches, and they can't even sell them. Oh well, hope you're hungry, motherfuckers. You have to eat all them chicken sandwiches now.
And shout out to Popeyes for doing the Chick-fil-A method and putting these chicken sandwiches on these little wrapping container things that really keep them warm for a substantial amount of time before. Because I got them to go in the drive-thru, and it took me maybe like a couple of minutes, because there was actually a lot of traffic that time because it was kind of rush hour time. So it took me a while to get back, and I put it in my table, and it was still warm.
That's awesome, man. And how thick is this thing?
It's thick, man, with two C's.
Yeah, I was going to say thick CK or thick CC.
Yeah, man. It's so I got two of them. I don't have any frame of reference of any chicken sandwiches for Popeyes. So I'm like, I don't know if one will be enough. So I got two. I ate the first one and I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty, you know, filling. I kind of forced myself to eat half of the other one.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hey, good thing you had that bag to keep it warm, though.
You know?
You know, shit is crazy right now, man. I was going to get the chicken sandwich on Friday, but I went to this gaming event. They fed me good. I was full. I was like, nah, I'm good. You know, there's some Popeyes not too far from here. Manny, Popeye Kings. Remember Popeye Kings?
Mm-hmm.
I may go there just check it out because going in the city, that's stupid. You know, no one's going to get anything there. But that area, you know, Francis Lewis and stuff. What's the name of that area? 164th Street. And isn't that Francis Lewis that crosses it? 164th and Francis Lewis? I don't know. Anyway, I'll go by there one day.
Yo, man, I need to go back to New York, man.
Yeah, man, you already know, son. that's going to do it for us, man. So let me pop up this little graphic here. All right, so if you want to leave us questions for future episodes, what do you do, man? What do you do? All right, so step one, you join our Discord. Step two, when you're on Discord, you go to the throw on your questions section. And step three, submit them questions, man. You limit them to two and keep it about gaming, but we will talk about chicken sandwiches if the need arises. This is what we do on Throwdown, man. We give you chicken sandwiches reviews, man. I should take that little clip that you did and just make it its own video, you know, with images of the Popeye chicken, you know, going by. Man, you're talking about this just making me hungry right now, bro.
Man, you know.
It's crazy. You crazy, man.
Yo, man, you crazy.
Yeah. All right, people, we're done here. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and the Facebooks at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
You know we gotta watch the Lucha Underground.
And Brian Manjoma.
The God of War. Great.
No, man. All right, people. See you on Thursday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Later.
Peace.